Have you ever watched an athlete perform their sport and wondered what it would be like to have their muscle mass, their motivation, endurance, and what you might do if you had their energy? Are you imagining yourself climbing a mountain, diving into the depths of the ocean, surfing the waves, or maybe just fitting into that old pair of jeans? Is this fantasy cut short because you've never been an athlete and so you believe you never can be? Well, put those potato chips down and get off that couch because my guest today is here to prove to you that you can be an athlete no matter your age, shape, or size, and she'll even tell you how. My name is Molly Sider, and this is I Am This Age, proof you are never too old to make a big change. I am a certified life coach and a living and breathing change maker in my 40s. Eden Kendall is here today to take you through her story from 45 years of, as she says, doing nothing, to becoming a marathoner in her 50s. Are you thinking, sure, that's great for her, but that will never work for me? Well, think again. Listen through to hear all of Eden's great advice, a little insight from the one and only David Ben-Parat, who's joining us here today, and stick around to the end to find out how you can get the support you need to follow through on your big life changes. Now, Eden Kendall.
My name is Eden Kendall. I am 56 years old. I am a radio personality, formerly TV personality in Jacksonville, Florida. And I am now an athlete, which is not something I'd ever been in my life. But in my mid to late 40s and into my 50s now, I consider myself an athlete.
You were hosting a daytime TV show? And people used to call in and make comments on your appearance all the time. You had to cut your hair. You had to change your clothing. And someone once called in to tell you that you were getting a muffin top.
That is the truth. It was like one of those Biggest Loser themed shows. So like, if you ask anybody who's ever on TV on a regular basis, they'll tell you, like, they'll get emails, they'll get comments on social media, just little things that are meant to be helpful. And I don't think that this wasn't meant to be helpful. I don't necessarily think it was meant to be mean, but I definitely was getting some comments of like, oh, you're hosting this fitness show, but you're not super fit. And I happen to notice that you have a muffin top and things like that, to the point where we even wrote a song and played it on the radio called Muffin Top, like as a tribute to all of we women. It was to the theme of Rocky Top, the Tennessee song. Oh, so it's like, you know, my girl has a muffin top. I laughed, but it hurt my feelings.
I think it's very generous of you to say, I think they were calling to help me, I think is maybe what you said.
Your heads would spin. I mean, think about your favorite personality on TV or like news anchors or reporters that you like. And no matter how well you think they're doing their job or how hard they're probably working, they probably have received some kind of communication from a viewer in the past 2 weeks that tells them that they've got either their hair is a mess or that they shouldn't wear this color. It's amazing.
Yeah.
You have to have a thick skin. So you kind of try to put the sunny side on it.
That doesn't surprise me considering just what we see in social media at all.
Just the state of the union.
Yeah. I wonder why people think that they're allowed to do something. Anybody cares what they think.
Now, if you put like at the end of your show, like, hey, give me comments on blah, 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 then fine.
Right.
But, you know, unsolicited. Back
like,
off.
How's my driving? But it would be like, how's my butt look in this dress?
Exactly. Yeah.
Tell me, I'm dying to know.
Eden never considered herself an athlete. In fact, she described herself as the kid who would hope for an illness just to get out of gym class. So what changed in your mind when you heard this person criticize your weight?
That to me was probably like that rock bottom moment. And I want to say that it's kind of appalling that they would do that, because I'm going to say, and this, every size is a beautiful size, but I couldn't have been more than maybe almost getting to a size 6. So it's not like I was really gaining a lot of weight. Oh, and someone once asked me if I was pregnant. And I wasn't, you know, I just, in my mind, I was like, this is hurting my feelings. And I'm in a competitive work situation where appearance really matters. So I guess I'll just join a gym. And prior to that, I had been like everybody, where you join one of these gyms and it's not that expensive, but they do that because they know that you're probably going to drop off and never cancel. And so you walk in, you're on your own. And I had never joined one of these gyms where it's like a smaller group and there's a community. Mm. And I just found my people. And the next thing I knew, I was it was almost like a cult. I had to be there all the time. I had to go every day, and the results were really secondary.
Were you immediately like, okay, join gym, take action, get this community, or did it take some convincing?
It took some convincing. It did. It took, especially after the first few times of going and trying it out. But then, as I mentioned, I made all of these friends, and everybody's so encouraging. And if you get around the right people who want to just kind of meet you wherever you are and recognize the gains that are your gains, and they may not be someone else's, but it's just really encouraging, and it gets addictive to feed off that positivity. Whereas you're used to someone saying something negative, all of a sudden, every day someone's saying something positive to you because you're surrounding yourself with these kinds of people. It's life-changing, really. You know. And it's not even about your accomplishments, but to just know that someone might miss you if you don't show up makes a huge difference. If you have somebody who's going to send you a text to it, or someone you even feel like you should text if you can't make it, it just makes all the difference in the world.
Was joining this community your first step that you took, or was there something in between there?
No, that was really the first step, because it was literally while I was hosting this show. So there were gyms that were involved in the actual production of the show. So I was able to just join right in. And so I started doing that. I tell you, all I ever did before that was go for walks, and lots of walks. I would take long walks just about every day. But my dad had been a runner, a cross-country runner in New York City, of all places. And this was something that he and I could talk about. So I started running. And so now we had this thing that I could share with him and talk to him about, because he's not with us anymore, but he was not the easiest person to have a conversation with. He had to find that common ground. So that, coupled with this other experience I was having where I started to run, because a lot of times these new friends of mine were also doing these 5K races and so forth. So I just kind of dabbled in that as well.
So I'm really curious, when you first started, what sort of doubts, if any, did you have about your ability to be athletic and to stick with it?
What's interesting is how other people will react, because you'll find that your family, your friend group, and I'm an obsessive kind of person. I dive headfirst into something, and then I immerse myself in it, whether it's a new hobby or a new job. I just get so into it and excited that I'm just all I want to talk about. It's all I want to do. And I definitely had some friends that had some negative things to say about me behind my back. Like, she's obsessed now with this. And it does make people that are around you that are in a different part of your life feel and kind of acts like maybe there's something wrong with you. And so I definitely felt like I was constantly having to temper my own passions, that I was,
because you came across like you had an addictive personality to them.
Which may or may not be the case, but yeah, definitely. I know, looking back, I obviously was putting in a lot more time into running and working out and doing all of this than probably I needed to when my kids were at the age they were. And, you know, that's why a lot of times you'll find that women, at least in the running community, I can speak to that, the women that are in their mid to late 40s are really excelling and doing well, because they're waiting through those years when the kids are little and they're in school and they're keeping their priorities about them. Whereas for me, and fortunately, everybody turned out beautifully. We're a happy family. Everything's great. But, you know, sometimes I look back and I think, what was my family doing when I was up early in the morning at the gym, or things like that?
So this is so interesting to me, because one of my questions was going to be like, were you super motivated, or was it a struggle to fit it into your life? And it sounds like it was actually a struggle to balance your new passion. I'm going to call it a passion, not an obsession, for running, and all the other things, because you had a family and two children.
You know, I think every parent looks back with those kinds of feelings, but that's mine.
You were talking about how your friends maybe didn't accept this new piece of you. Were talking behind your back and just had their own opinions. I feel like that's like fairly common. I'm always so curious what that's about. I feel like it might also have something to do with those people not knowing where they sort of stand or fit into your life anymore. I think people have a lot of trouble when they see the people that they used to spend a certain amount of time with or whatever change and grow and reprioritize, as you said, it can feel sort of threatening in a way.
That applies here, I think. Yeah. It does. And I would say that it all smooths out over time. Things correct themselves, things even out. Example being like with my husband. So he was an athlete always from the time he was in high school. And so when I started getting all into the gym and everything, he wasn't really doing that anymore, but he used to be the one who was always going to play basketball with his buddies or doing these things. And then he kind of more got into golf and being more sedentary a little bit. And then I got into all these things. So we definitely had a little bit of like, wait, you're going this way. Wait. And then I would be like begging him all the time, will you join the gym with me? I want us to do this together. And it wasn't so much that I wanted to just do something together. I wanted to do what I wanted, but I wanted him to do it with me so we could have that together time. Yeah. And then finally, after years, we just reached this place where we were like, you know what? I don't really like doing those things. I mean, I had him out running 16-mile Spartan races and whatever. And he's just finally like, you know what? I don't enjoy it. I just, you know what? I want to go for a long walk. I want to work out with the weights in the garage. And I want to, but I,
that's not like a 20-minute thing.
Right. He's like, that's
like a 4-hour activity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So selfishly, I was trying to pull him in. And now, you know, now I tease him all the time and I tell him I'm going to take up golf and start coming with him everywhere. And he's like, you know, see, that's another thing. We always talk about how good it is that we have our separate things we love. But there was a minute there, and I think this happens in a lot of relationships. There was a minute there where all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, we didn't used to have completely separate interests. And either that will make you or break you, I guess.
Yeah, interesting.
I think it's healthy. When you were asking that question, Molly, it kind of made me think about how, like, people get used to you in a rhythm, like a pattern. But when you change the pattern or set a boundary or something else, it's like kicking up the dust a little bit. And it takes time for that to settle. Even just the way we interact with people sometimes, when you start to say, I won't tolerate something, or like you put up a boundary or you develop a new routine. Yeah, and the ones 100%. That don't.
I agree. I think it's like a boundary thing. They say running feels terrible until all of a sudden one day it feels great. So I wanted to know how long it took Eden, once she started exercising, to feel that passion for running.
Within the first year, because what was happening is I would be going to this gym, meeting all these friends, and then, oh, the weekend's coming up, what are you doing? Oh, we're gonna run a 5K. Okay, well, I'll come out and do that. And then ultimately someone will say, oh, so-and-so placed such-and-such in their age group. And that seemed like really exciting. And so I was like, oh, maybe I can try to run a little bit faster. Maybe I can try. And so in the course of all of this, you start talking to people and they're like, oh, here's the tips that I get. Here's the coach I use. And because at this time I'm in my 40s and there aren't a ton of us racing in our 40s, all of a sudden now I'm getting prizes in my age group. And this is from someone who's only ever been on the bench in sports. And like you referenced, never wanted to go to PE because I didn't like the idea of having to change, get sweaty, take a shower. Like, I'm totally afraid of the ball coming at me in a sport. So to be getting actual like little plaques, because out of the four of us that ran in this 5K, I was third.
That's amazing.
So I got a prize. So,
but were you intimidated at all by running? Like when somebody was like, we're going to run a 5K, were you just like, yeah, sweet, I'm going to go do that? Or were you like, I don't know if I can do that?
No, not at all. I was so intimidated. And my husband was so much faster than me. So we would do them together at first until finally he was like, you know what? I'm not enjoying this. But he would dust me, you know, and he'd just say, do you want me to stay with you? And I'd say, no. And then he'd go blowing by and it would annoy me because he didn't train, he didn't try. And I was out there trying so hard. It was really intimidating because then you feel like you want to make excuses for yourself. Oh gosh, you know what? My shoe was untied. And I'm like, why do I care? I finished.
What was the very first race you finished?
The first race I finished was a 5K race, which is 3.1 miles. Mm-hmm. I feel like it probably had a theme where you dress up because that was originally what I really enjoyed. I think it was a Christmas race, like a Christmas themed nighttime thing. And I think it was just one of those things where at the time it was more about whether you walk, whether you run, just get to that finish line. Doesn't matter. And then slowly I started to realize, well, yeah, I can run a little bit more of this. I can run a little bit more of this. And eventually I realized I'm running it and I'm finishing ahead of a lot of other people that are my same age. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, what would happen if I practiced this every day? What would happen if I actually asked someone who's a running coach how I could get faster? And I've always been really amazed by anything that shows improvement over time. And so that to me was kind of cool just to watch, even watching myself.
Yeah.
As yeah. it was happening.
So I used to run a lot and then I stopped running and now I'm slowly getting back into it. But I remember one of my favorite races I ever ran was a 5K in Brooklyn. And I was like training for maybe a half marathon or something. And I had to do a certain amount of races in order to qualify. I think it was maybe the New York half or I don't remember. But it was a 5K like around Prospect Park and it was one of my favorite runs because I finished it and then I was at the finish line watching other people finish. And there were all these people who had never run a race before. They probably had barely ever run in their life and they were finishing it and they were hugging each other and crying. And it was so emotional. It was almost more emotional than like a half marathon, which are also emotional. Marathons are emotional for me. But it was so cool because they were these people who probably never thought that they could do something like that. It was just really, really cool.
The New York City Marathon was last weekend. Mm-hmm. And there's a video of a group of four or five women and they're holding hands and they're crossing the finish line. And I think they were absolutely dead last. It's dark out. And you can see in the stands that there's just a smattering of people, hardly anyone there, but they are screaming and yelling and carrying on. And it is really beautiful to see.
Cool. Yeah.
I hate running mostly because of this, like my shins and my joints, which is what I'm about to ask you. Did you have a hard time? Because I'm discovering now that I just turned 40, like the body, you know, like it hurts sometimes when you're putting that kind of strain on it. But like I couldn't even do like a quarter of a mile. And now I can do a mile like no problem, 6:30 or something like that. And that's just great to look back and see that growth. This is the only consistent thing I've done over the last 2 years besides producing music. And
wait,
stuff,
you your know? Mile is 6:30?
Something along those lines.
For
yeah.
just 1 mile or for multiple miles?
1 mile.
Okay. That's still like, pretty great.
We'll allow it. But if you said multiple miles and you don't run that often, we were going to have to be like, no chance. I forgot what the question.
How do you deal with it? It was more of your body. Oh, like, how did your body handle it?
No, that's such a good question because for a long time, I was saying to my husband, like, your equipment is all used up. Mine is new because I did nothing for 45 years. So, I mean, I have the joints, I guess, of like if a 12-year-old athlete, really.
Because that is a hump that I think is really tough for some people.
But think about it. Think about it. What I said before, like, your equipment isn't as rusty. You know, your joints are going to be great. Now, if you have health issues, of course you should talk to your doctor. And yes, a lot of people have bad knees just because of, you know, they have jobs where they're on their feet all day. So I'm not going to speak for everyone when I say that. But I think what you need to know is that there are so many athletes. And the word athlete, I throw around freely now because it feels great to say it and be it. But there are so many that are of all ages, all shapes, all sizes. And all you have to do is watch some of these videos of like the people who finish at the end of a marathon. And what do they call the last person that finishes the triathlon? A triathlete, you know, and it's fun and you meet friends and it's the best running. It's the running community and the workout community and the fitness community or a walking community, just walking. You'll make friends that you have this stuff in common with. It's so fun. Sports is wasted on the youth.
Yes. I think another obstacle, especially starting this at a later age, is the routine, like getting into it. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I hear people I know in my life who are like, yeah, I want to exercise. I don't have time. I'm too busy or I have kids or whatever. Like I want to, or I do it once a week, but I don't have time to do it more than that. And I think that because we're older and we're in a routine, we have big responsibilities it doesn't sound like that was a problem for you though.
So that's where the people come in. That's where because if you have to pick up a phone and explain to someone that you're too tired to show up or send them a text, the second time you're embarrassed. The third time you're like, okay, they know I'm a loser. Or yeah. they don't really think that, but you know, you're like judging yourself.
Yeah.
So I think community is the number one thing. If there's nothing else you can come up with for reasons to get. And when I say exercise. I'm 100% behind people just taking walks because I have always loved that. And I feel like that's why the transition was a little easier. So even if it's just like walks, but you know, doing it with other people makes it so nice.
Yeah.
But I think also new routines develop because you were saying just like how you used to do everything together with your husband, but then you learned to do like things separately.
It was clunky for a minute. It was really clunky for a while because we were trying to decide like, is this okay? Like you feel like it's not okay to do all these separate things. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly, you know, you're empty nesters and it's kind of cool because you have to have other things you can talk to each other about. And it's just nice to have separate interests to talk about. How was golf today? How was your run? Or I leave for a run and he says, have fun. And I think I am going to have fun. This is fun for me versus for him, it's not fun. So
yeah.
Would you say your relationship is better or the same?
I would say better. There has to be some point where you suddenly realize that you're changing, you're both changing, and you doesn't mean, even if you're changing in different ways, doesn't mean you can't still have fun and have good, trusting, open communication style relationship.
And also you change one thing or you grow one thing in your life and it affects everything. Everything's connected in your body. So if one thing hurts, look at the body as a whole. And the same thing with the relationships and everything that's external. Everything is connected. So yeah, you get healthy. That's going to trickle into all the other parts of your life and your relationships with all the other people in your life. That's how it works.
Yeah. You have to kind of know that you didn't sign up for things to stay exactly the same when you met. You signed up for going through a lot of different changes on the way to hopefully old age together. So you have to understand that we're just not going to do the things that we liked to do then.
Yeah. Yeah. But it sounds like it's great. They're good changes. Yeah.
It's all good. Yeah. But I will say that I do find that I have to reignite my own passion. So what I've done is I started to get really run down, really burnt out, achy, just not feeling good. And I want to say that's been in the past month. And that's when I left my gym and joined a different gym. And I said to my new trainer, he happens to also be a running coach, and I have two big races coming up next year. So I really wanted to reset everything. And I said, I'm going to do this all on social media. I'm going to do very extensive videos and posts about resetting, about getting back to the very basics that I forgot, because my body, just like you mentioned, was feeling completely, I started to feel old. And for the first time, I didn't feel like, oh, I'm starting with new equipment. I'm starting, all of a sudden, I'm like feeling old. So it was everything from like adding back in magnesium to doing the very basic warm-up exercises that I'd gotten away from because I was cocky, I guess. I don't know, like foam rolling, just all the very basics. So I think you have to almost reignite and reset your goals on a regular basis because, yeah, my body had hit a wall. I never felt good in the morning when I got up anymore. Everything hurt. And it culminated on Halloween. I was doing the Sunday before Halloween. There's a big 10-mile race. It's through a graveyard. It's a super cool race in Jacksonville. And I have never not felt like I could finish it. I actually thought about just stepping off and just not even finishing it. And that's when I knew that something isn't right. I don't know if it's hormones, but I'd had a checkup pretty recently. And it's almost like a blessing that you invited me to do this because it really made me feel great. It kind of pumped me up because I really was in a dark down place where my fitness was involved because I felt it going away. And I'm feeling good again because I made some switches. And I think that's also something I would actually share with people, that if you do hit that wall, maybe it's time to go all the way back to the basics. Mm-hmm. And I mean all the way back to exercises that I haven't done since like, you know, 10 years.
Eden eventually became a marathoner. Her first marathon, which she both qualified for and got into, was New York City. If you're not a marathoner, you may not know that getting accepted into the New York Marathon is no small feat.
I didn't even know you have to qualify for a marathon.
The way it works for New Yorkers is if you qualify with a qualifying time, you can sign up and right away if you're in New York. If you're outside of New York State, if you have a qualifying time, it's first come, first serve. So I sat on the button and I just waited until like 12:00 and I boom, and I got in. A lot of my friends didn't. If you don't get in, then you go into the lottery. Now, if you don't qualify with a qualifying time, you also can register, but you go into a lottery. And then the third way is if you raise money for charity, which is also an excellent way.
Yeah.
How do you prove that you qualify? Like, do you
Because your time from another race,
so you have to have done another race in order to get into it,
right? So,
whereas
I had,
New York, they're like, "Oh, you guys ride the subway all the time anyway, so we know that you're fit."
Or that's right. Like, that's right, we know you're worthy. You earned it, and that was my first marathon because I said I'd never do a marathon unless it was New York City because my dad used to run out of the YMHA, which is over on I think 9th or 19th. Oh. Unfortunately, he wasn't here to hear about it, but it was the best experience. It was amazing.
Eden's dad wasn't the only inspiration for her marathon debut. The night before the race, as Eden was preparing herself to run 26.2 miles through the streets of New York City, she received a surprise text from her friend and running partner back in Florida.
I wasn't thinking I'd ever run a second marathon, ever. I was like, I'm not going to do this again. I did it once. Good. So my friend Nancy, who is my training buddy, texted me the night before. She was about to start chemo for breast cancer. She hadn't had her first treatment yet. It was on the horizon. And she texted me the night before. I'm in my hotel in New York. And she says, okay, I have goals for you. She said, you're going to qualify for the Boston Marathon tomorrow, and you're going to come with me to Boston in 2023.
A quick fact about the Boston Marathon. It first commenced in 1897, making it the oldest marathon in the world. It's also ranked as one of the world's most prestigious races and the hardest in the U.S. to get into, and Eden's friend Nancy had already run it.
Now, this was in 2021. She knew 2022 was out because she would be doing chemo and radiation and everything. She said, but in 2023, I'm back and you're coming with me. So I wrote that on my hand, Nancy Boston 2023. And it was hard, but we did it. And so now Nancy and I are going to Boston.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just got accepted into the Boston Marathon for 2023.
Amazing. Congratulations.
And she's great, by the way. Okay. She's all done with her treatments and has a clean bill of health. And so we're doing that. We joke about she pulls the cancer card a lot. So she's also got me doing Chicago next year, Chicago Marathon.
Oh, we'll nice. Come out and cheer for you.
Yay! You'll get up at 5 and cheer. Yes. I'll come at the very end, maybe.
I won't be out there at 5. I'm sure my group will go way later. But it was exciting and rewarding. And the whole thing is so emotional. Like you were saying, Molly, when you watch people finish, regardless of where they finish, it's amazing to see.
Yeah. Watching the New York City Marathon is like one of my favorite things. I was watching all my friends' social media posts. They were all there. And I'm like, oh, it's so exciting. And Chicago, any marathon, it's very exciting. Congratulations. It's incredible.
Where do they all like kind of rank? Is like the number one New York or Boston or something
Boston.
Like that? And then Boston's number one.
Yeah. Boston, David, we already went over this.
The six majors are Boston, Chicago, New York, Tokyo, London, Berlin.
Mm. Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of people whose goal is to do all six of the majors.
God.
That's never been my goal, but I never also thought I'd ever run any of them. So
yeah.
Who knows? Who knows with me? By this time next year, I might be obsessed with trying to do those. It just depends what my latest obsession is.
What do your kids think about this obsession?
So I might have to explain to them, well, you know, I did get into Boston and the reason this is a big deal is because it's just not something everyone gets to do. And I'm very fortunate.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to work very, very hard. And so you almost have to lay it out and explain, but it's just like that with, I think everybody, like if somebody has a success in their workplace, I might not understand all that was at stake.
Yeah.
But if you explain it to me, I can be as proud of you as you should be of yourself.
I love that.
I love that too.
Because sometimes people will explain to you, someone will say like, oh, I got a promotion. And you want to say, well, I want to dig in more. Like, tell me how many people were up for this promotion? How many times do they promote someone? And so this is big. You should be so proud.
Yeah.
And so sometimes there's more to a story and maybe someone's underselling it. So,
you know, that's
like
cool.
Within your own family, you don't have to undersell it. You can be like braggy.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool because sometimes I'm like, this is just a thing, but people are like, no, you're doing it. And I think especially the further we get along the road, it's kind of nice to get that cheer, like that cheerleading a little bit.
It's funny, you know, I'm sitting here saying all these things that somebody who's not a runner might say, Okay, that sounds really impressive. Oh, she qualified this. She must be that. I really am more of a like ahead of the middle of a pack, the packer. Like I'm not some elite runner by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of like, I guess they call it imposter syndrome that goes along with that too, where you feel like you have to almost qualify what you said. Well, I was in this race and, but there were only four of us. So the fact that I came in third is not as big a deal as it looks on paper. Like you find yourself constantly saying that about anything in life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
why do we do that?
I don't know why we do that, but you know, that's a thing that in this, that's part of the whole community thing where if you can surround yourself with people who understand it.
Yes.
You know, they can be like, it doesn't matter.
It's
sure.
I feel like it's an antidote to like trying to go the complete opposite way of narcissism, that we go like, you know, way the other direction, like where we just demote everything we do to nothing.
But how has all of this rubbed off on her kids? David and I were both wondering.
Do they have a passion that because they've witnessed you develop your passion, or conversely, like, are they just sloths and don't want to get involved in anything because they're like, mom's a freak show?
So, okay. Both my kids, I think, know that there's just nothing that hard work within reason, obviously, but that you can work really hard and get lucky in a lot of situations and things will progress, but also like maybe pushing down some walls that maybe you think are up. I think it's the more why wouldn't you attitude that they get from me than anything else.
I love that.
What possible reason could you have for not trying? Tell me why you don't want to try, because trying doesn't mean you have to achieve it. It just means you tried it.
I think that's probably the lesson that I've gotten the most out of like the last couple of years. I can't be in control of the result, but I have to at least put, you know, there's like the universe and there's me, and like I have to meet my half and then the universe will decide what their half is, you know?
Yeah. So how do you want to show up? Anything that I'm dealing with, like, the question is always the same. How do you want to show up in this situation? And my answer is always the same.
I don't want to show
and
up.
And how do you want to show
how
up?
How do you want to like, show up? Who do you want to be? And my answer is always, I want to be honest and kind and thoughtful and vulnerable and empathetic.
And mine is, I want to be sitting on my couch watching a TV show.
You kind of are in a way right now.
Yeah, you're the show.
But yeah, like you can't control anyone. You can't control the world. You can't control anyone's reactions. You can only control how you show up to the world, to the situation. And so choose how you want to be. So when you think of your life before running and being an athlete, which you are now, what feelings come up when you think of that previous version of yourself?
Well, and funny enough, because like I said, I've always in my professional career been like on TV and on the radio, so you wouldn't think this, but like incredibly average, just an incredibly average, not standout person at all. Just like, lucky if people I went to high school remember me, even though I was always a kind of go with the flow, just kind of be adjacent to the popular girls. And then there's me, I'm friends with the journalist club. And then there's me, like just in the middle of every group, every fringe group.
Yeah. So it sounds like this has really done a number on your confidence and how you show up in the world now.
You know, but I also had that whole class clown thing going too, which sounds like it would be completely contrary to saying average, but isn't that kind of what class clowns do? Like they try to get the attention because they feel so incredibly invisible. And so that was part of it, you know, being on the radio for all these years and just, you know, wanting a chance to be heard.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think
that's
the
way we get like recognized, you know, because I was a class clown too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a podcast clown too.
I can definitely see that. So is Boston your next race, or what is your next race?
It is. It's my next race that I care about, like how I do.
Do you already know what time you're aiming for?
I never like to say.
Okay, you don't have to say.
I mean, right now, going into my training right now, and this could change a lot, I would love to see like a 350.
Wow.
So my time in New York was 358. Wow. So I feel like 8 minutes is a lot to knock off, but I also was very crampy.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking if I can do some things correctly, I could feasibly get closer to 350. But even if it wasn't that, even if it was anything at all. Hmm. I would just be happy to be there, but yeah. I'll train as though that's what I'm trying to do.
Okay. Nice. Well, we will be cheering you on.
Thank you.
I asked Eden, as I ask all my guests, to reintroduce herself based on what she learned during our conversation.
Okay, I'm 56. I'm confident in myself that I can at least show up and try anything. I'm somebody who you can invite to try something new and I'll probably say yes. And I'm, for the most part, in most areas of my life, really content, really happy and having fun. I feel like I got a free therapy session today. Thank you both.
Well, Eden is getting me excited to go to my weightlifting class later. I don't know about you, but my favorite points were reinforcing the power of community, understanding that if we're just starting to exercise now, we've got fresh, unworn joints, y'all. And why not try? Give us one good reason. If you want to find Eden, you can tune into 99.9 Gator Country in Jacksonville, Florida. You can listen to her podcast, The Show After the Show with Eden and Amadeus, or her other podcast called Uncluttered and Unfiltered, a really fun show for women over 40, and follow her on Instagram at Eden Kendall Jackson. If you're looking for support through your own change journey, or you just want to get to the bottom of your true identity so you can finally live the life you always wanted, email Molly at jellyfishindustries.com and I'll send you a link to set up a free 30-minute call with me. Thank you to David Ben Perot for co-hosting and Dan Davin for music, David Harper for the artwork. I Am This Age is produced by Jellyfish Industries. I am Molly Sider. Catch you all next time.